actors, this is your final places call. Places. House to half. Go. Orchestra, stand by. Go.
Hey guys, this is Gabrielle Ruiz.
Rick Negron.
Anne Harada.
Karen Mason.
Constantine Maroulis.
JLA Marcos, and you're listening to Bite Size
Broadway, brought to you by Indie Works Theater Company.
Bite Size Broadway.
A musical snack that keeps you coming back for
Bite Size Broadway.
Get your day started right with an opening night.
Now on with the
Hi there, my name is Jonathan Lynch, and you're listening to Bite Size Broadway, a mini musical podcast brought to you by IndieWorks Theatre Company and Judith Manacharian. This is your source for discovering original short-form musicals that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Today, get ready for a trip on MTA the Musical with book, music, and lyrics by Peter Sachs and additional book by Christopher Michaels. Stick around after the musical presentation for a talkback with Peter and Christopher. And now, get your Metro cards ready and join us underground in a sweltering subway station in the middle of a heated New York City summer.
Attention passengers, due to a police investigation at Urukhuk or downtown trains on the Hulan are running with extreme delays between 145th and 59th Street. For faster service, please take the northbound C train to 145th Street and click for a downtown B or D train. Thank you for riding the MTA.
No, I'm just getting to the subway platform. What? Charlotte? No, I'm going to be late to the office. What? No, I said I'm going to be late. Hello? Late. I'm going to be late. Will you cover for me? Charlotte, can you hear me? Hello? Damn this phone.
The MTA would like to remind you to use turnstiles to enter and exit the station. If you leave the gate, don't hold it open. Fare evasion is a crime, and violators are subject to fine. Together, we can make a better system.
MTA. Homeless bombs and type A yuppies, MTA. Subway rats the size of puppies, hey. This waiting for a train is such a friggin' pain. Delays on every line. Fine, at least just give me Wi-Fi. And for this heat, I need a frozen Mai Tai MTA.
MTA.
I'm waiting. MTA.
MTA.
I'm hating
MTA.
MTA.
You suck.
Ow.
Cool.
Watch where you're going.
Why don't you watch where you're going?
What? You're like twice my size.
And you left no room for me to get by.
So you body checked me? I could have ended up on the tracks. What if there was a train coming?
Yeah. Good luck.
MTA.
MTA.
Trampled by the rush hour masses. MTA.
MTA.
Tiny seats for tiny asses. Hey, so give us some AC.
I'm baking like a brie.
I'm getting hungry now. Wow, I've bathed in perspiration. Combine that with my growing aggravation.
MTA.
MTA.
I hate you.
I love you.
I have to pay you for
MTA.
Hey. You can't jump that tape.
I need you.
Get back here.
MTA.
I said get back here.
Police.
Oh, shit. Hey, watch it, pretty boy. What is it with people running into my tools?
Sorry. And,
excuse you. Could you not stand so close behind me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So move already!
Just a second!
Hey, where'd he go?
That's him, with the hat!
Get back here, Fairy Vader!
Get back here!
Oh,
hey!
Turnstile jumper, really?
You don't know my life. I've had a hard morning.
Yeah, we're all having a hard morning, jackass. We still have the decency to pay the fare.
I tried, okay? It's this damn card!
Swipe again, my MetroCard's failing.
MTA.
The stripe again, getting scratched, getting mangled, and always failing. $20, all I have in the bank is $20. I know it's bad, but I had to jump
the turnstile.
MTA. Turnstile jumper.
Fair escapist.
MTA. Transit cops.
Nightstick rapist.
Hey.
This heat is just insane.
It's gonna fry my brain.
Just lock me in a cage.
Oh, the key rage. This train had better get here. This damn
you.
Oh, thank God. Hi, hello, Charlotte. Hi. Yeah, I'm sorry. So sorry. The train hasn't arrived yet. Hello? Can you hear me? God, this damn phone. This damn heat and this damn phone.
Looks like you're having a rough morning yourself.
Yeah, well, if this damn phone would only... This heat might be making me delirious, but boy, is he hot. A little younger than I like them, but really hot.
What?
What?
You just said, if this damn phone would only...
Only... Oh! Oh! Nothing, just, you know, Sprint. With my luck, he's gay. All the good ones are always taken or gay.
You can use my phone if you like. It's Verizon, so...
Whoa. Maybe it's the heat, but this chick's really hot. A little louder than I like him, but definitely hot.
Yeah, no. I'm good.
Suit yourself, sweetheart. But it's here when you need it.
Built, burly, beefy. I wonder if he's on Instagram. A little grayer than I like him, but oh, so hot.
So hot.
So hot.
So hot. I mean, the subway is hot.
I mean, like down here in the bowels of hell that is New York City.
It's hot out. But,
to remind you to keep your hands to your phone and away from others when on subway cars and platforms. A crowd of passengers is being free to engage in unlawful sexual conduct.
Excuse me?
Thank you for riding the MTA.
Did they just...
I mean, you heard that, right?
They couldn't have said that.
Huh. Waiting for a train and never knowing when it's going to come.
Look at that man. Look at his ass. Late, I'm always late, my boss is gonna really wanna kill me.
I've all the time to wait and fantasize about the girl of my dreams. A man like me should have the girl of his dreams. Why not?
Waiting for a subway makes me horny.
Waiting for a subway makes me horny.
Keep your hands on others when on crowded subway platforms and engage in sexual conduct.
Waiting for a subway, God, I'm horny.
Attention passengers. Due to a sick passenger at 1:30. All trains on this line are running with even further delays.
Not another train delay. I'm never gonna ever get to work.
Look at those eyes. Look at that hair.
Fired. I'm so fired. I'm not happy, but my crappy job is all I have to live for. Why can I not have the man my dreams?
Me
look,
tight.
He's hot.
Bigger, so much better.
Why
being brawny, never scrawny. I am powerful and safe.
Dreams.
And free.
Should I say hello and take my chances? Should I say hello and take my chances?
Why
I can say hello,
can
I
not
my chances?
She
could be mine, she could be mine.
What
else is keeping me from walking to her
talking
to her man? Something isn't right, you tell me. Let my eyes fantasize.
City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and stay aware of your surroundings.
Waiting for a train and never knowing when it's going to come.
Look at that sign.
Look at those eyes.
Look at that
rack. Look at that ass.
If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, please tell a police officer or an MTA employee. And remember, if you see someone... Say something.
What did
Excuse
she
me?
Just say?
Did she just say that?
What's that?
Did
about?
I hear
I
that
might just
right?
Up
I said, if you see something, say something.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's
what
he yeah,
said.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine. It's just... An awkward glance.
A breathless hush.
To follow through.
Searching for something more.
To face the fear.
To feel the rush. So much to do. Searching for something more. To live life.
life alone, to face the unknown, to dream of two, not one, to hope and pray.
Love comes one day when all is said and done.
No awkward glance,
no awkward glance,
no breathless hush,
no breathless hush,
should stop the loving you were searching for.
Something more.
You face the fear,
you face the fear,
you feel the rush,
you feel the rush,
you follow through, searching for something more. No time for regret, you don't try,
you don't get. Throw your fears away, to see how you've grown, to see that now only inspires you more each day. I'll take a chance, I'll never quit. I'm reigniting desire for something more, a true romance. Might this be it? Brightening my fire for
something more.
Something more. Something more.
Attention passengers, never go onto the tracks for any reason. Even if you drop something important, we can help you get it back. Just tell a police officer or an MTA employee or use the help point intercom.
Hey, sorry about almost bumping into you on the track before. Could I maybe buy you a drink, make it up to you?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to swipe left on that.
Fine then, fine. She don't know what she's missing.
Now, if you wanted to buy me a drink, I might be able to.
Yeah, you're not so much my type as Beefcake over there.
Wait. Him?
Whoa, this is 100% USDA prime choice for women only beef right here.
Oh, please. Ain't nobody got time for your toxic masculinity.
So all the good ones really are taken or gay.
Not mm-hmm. all the good ones.
Yeah, you only serve to prove my point.
MTA.
MTA.
Dripping wet.
And dehydrated.
MTA.
MTA.
Waiting makes me irritated.
Hey, why bother to complain?
The MTA's a pain, but what else can you do?
MTA,
true,
to deal with the frustrations. You wait for trains and walk with no expectations. MTA. Cuts out. I've been stuck underground, but the train is arriving now.
Stop.
Hey, stop the train.
No,
it's the
train. The train is pulling
you to
the
station. We've been waiting for 30 minutes, man.
It's
come on. I hate this city.
Train.
Attention passengers. For your safety, please stand away from the platform edge when trains are entering and leaving the station. And as always, thank you for riding the MTA.
That was MTA the Musical. Book, music, and lyrics by Peter Sachs with additional book by Christopher Michaels, starring Gabrielle Ruiz, TJ Newton, and Brandon J. Ellis, featuring Yvette Monique Clark as the MTA announcer and booth attendant, and Christopher Michaels as the police officers. MTA the Musical is recorded remotely from New York City with direction by Christopher Michaels, music direction by Jonathan Lynch, orchestrations and sound design by Andrew Fox, and mixing and mastering by Jay Rosen, assistant audio engineering by Evan Feist, and additional audio editing by Evan Johnson, electric and acoustic guitar by Lily R. Kellyan, electric bass by James Michael Randorf, and saxophone by Robbie Wingfield. We'll be right back after this brief intermission to talk with Peter and Christopher about their strange subway experiences, the history of their friendship, and how cannabis can save the world. All that and more right after this.
No, really. What are friends for?
Friends are for diving deep into the meaningful, joyful, and sometimes uncomfortable conversations about platonic love. I'm Pallavi Sastry.
And I'm Pallavi's best friend, Gabrielle Ruiz, and we're the hosts of the top 100 relationship podcast, What Are Friends For?
I'm sure many of you listeners will agree that navigating friendships during the pandemic is tricky, but that's what we're here for.
That's because we're not afraid to tackle the tough topics, from sex positivity to differences in religion to work friends, friendship breakups. We touch on all of it here at WAF Podcast.
And we don't just keep it between us either. We've had some great guest friends come on the show, including Carly Hughes, Javier Munoz, and Kelly O'Hara.
Slay. So listen to What Are Friends For wherever you get your podcasts, or to attend our WAF live shows and stream exclusive content, subscribe to our channel at patreon.com/WAF podcast.
And of course, check us out everywhere at WAF podcast. That's W-A-F-F podcast.
We will welcome you to the WAF fam with open and socially distanced arms.
Because that's what friends are for.
Hey there! Enjoying the show so far? Want even more out of your bite-sized Broadway experience? Get full-color digital playbills, early singles and episodes, and exclusive backstage access to other exciting rewards and extras by becoming a Patreon subscriber. For as little as $3 a month, you can unlock perks you just won't find anywhere else. We're giving you a peek behind the curtain to see just what goes into making a mini musical podcast, plus a chance to speak directly to the artists in monthly AMAs. Oh, looks like Act Two is about to start. Visit patreon.com/bitesizebroadway to find out how you can become a subscriber today. Sorry. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Ah. Welcome back, everyone. Next stop, a talkback with Peter Sachs and Christopher Michaels. Please stand clear of the closing doors as we discuss MTA the musical.
Hey, Peter and Christopher, thank you for sitting down with me to talk.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
First of all, I want to know if you could just tell me a little bit more about the history of the piece.
It started a number of years ago. I was involved with a theater company and they were doing a series of short pieces. And I was literally on a subway platform. The subway was not showing up and there were some people on the platform and there was a really hot guy. And I was very preoccupied with that, and it was, you know, taking over my time. And that literally led to the idea of that we all do that. We all pace back and forth on the subway platform while we're waiting for a train, and we frequently check out the men and women that are just as frustrated as we are. And it just led to this very simple idea. It was originally done as a 10-minute piece. Mm-hmm. It was three people. There were no other characters. There was almost no dialogue except for subway announcements. So it's been done in concert that way a few times. And then when the opportunity to do it in this audio only format, we realized that it needed to be transformed, take the visual and you know, turn it into a radio play. And I'm a terrible book writer, really. And I turned to Christopher and I said, would you help me do this? And so it ended up going from a 10-minute piece to what basically a 15 or 16-minute piece, I think it is. And we had a good time doing it, actually. It was because I've always conceived this as a movie, too. Mm-hmm. And this actually kind of made it a little more cinematic in a way.
Cool.
And it actually was a finalist in a Davenport short play festival.
Ken Davenport, who is a very prominent producer on Broadway, who brings a lot of opportunity to new producers and new writers.
So Peter and I have known each other now for about 6 or 7 years. And so getting to know his music and getting to see different performances of this piece in cabarets and open mics and all that kind of stuff. I always thought the piece was really funny for exactly the reasons that Peter said. And I also think to some extent, most people have been on a subway platform and seen like the most beautiful person they've ever seen before, but they're usually across the subway or in the opposite direction, or they're on a train. And then, I just thought it would be real fun for this new thing that we were doing here with Bite Size Broadway. And that was when we were worried that, oh my gosh, is anybody going to even submit? And it really worked out. I think it really, you know, came together beautifully. And So I'm happy that we had the opportunity.
I agree. Can you talk more about the process of bringing it from like standing on a subway platform and realizing like the sort of like loneliness and the love-hate relationship with the MTA and the missed connections are there and you want to make a musical out of it. And then the process of turning that into these characters singing these songs.
Well, I knew that there had to be a title number. So
yes.
And I knew I just knew that it had to start with this ode to the MTA, the love-hate relationship, as in MTA, I hate you, I love you.
Yeah.
And it allowed me to introduce the three characters. So it was just an ideal way everyone's entering. And then in the middle section, of course, the fair jumper comes into the, and he gets to do the middle section. And we actually expanded that a little bit for this version. There's actually an extension to the piece. It was a little shorter in the original version. And then it just went, you know, suddenly there's a subway announcement, but the subway announcements get weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
And
that also feels very real too.
Yeah. Well, because you kind of mishear things. Did I really hear that? And then the whole idea of the three characters noticing each other, you know, waiting on a train and never knowing when it's going to come. Look at that. Look at him. Look at that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all going back and forth. And in the music, you know, there's this pulse. There's this, yeah. And it's that annoyance that, and of course, the yearning begins. And that's when it goes from the yeah, into that florid trio. Mm-hmm. It's all about the yearning and the yearning and the yearning.
At what point in the process did you figure, I'm going to write three trios? Or is that sort of an organic thing? Like it was coming about and you're like, oh, I'm going to lean this way. That's cool.
It came from, I so seldom get to write ensemble music. So I'm always writing solos these days. And I wanted to do some choral writing. but it made sense. There was not going to be any dialogue in this. Mm-hmm. And they really don't talk to each other until the end.
Yeah.
In the original version, they don't talk to each other until after
something more.
But in the new version, they do communicate with each other. In the original version, it was all in their heads until after something more. And then they try to meet each other. And then the MTA reprise at the end, the finale, they actually do hear each other and they're actually singing in each other's company. So they actually do make a connection, even if, you know, nobody's right for the one that they want.
Mm-hmm. I think the really interesting thing about it and what kind of made it difficult for audio format doing it the old way is that, just like Peter said, everything is them talking to themselves, them in their own heads. And so without being able to see who they were referring to, being able to see on their faces how they felt about this person and that person made it difficult to differentiate who they were talking to, when it was in their head, when it wasn't in their head. But what we have here that works in our favor is the sound design, which Andrew's made it really fun to kind of be in this some way when you're just listening to it.
Park on this one, totally.
And Peter's right. The piece as it was works really well on stage because the audience is with each person on their own journey. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there aren't any lines, I mean, even in that section after something more, there's no talking at all. They just approach one another and then they're standoffish. And so that standoffishness is enough to make that person go, I'm way out of my league, or this isn't worth it, or I knew I couldn't do it. And so we just kind of had to give that to the audiences in a way that was digestible through an audio only format.
But one of the things that came out of that, once we expanded to make that happen, it had an interesting effect that there's a certain hostility and potential unlikability of some of these characters that was not apparent when they were in their own heads. But once they were reacting to each other, there was a certain amount of hostility that came out that changed the tone of certain things.
I suppose when you're in your own head, you're kind of the hero and the good guy and the nice person. But when you start hearing out loud, it's like, oh, maybe I'm a little bit unlikable after all.
Exactly.
And we ended up having to make a few tweaks.
I think it was the night before recording.
Yeah. Something may come across as sexist. Are we being too hostile? Is this person too unlikable? Mm-hmm. Can we cut this line? Can we lighten something? So in the change of format, the characters became changed a little bit, or they revealed something that was not revealed in the original version.
And I think that we all think that we're likable and that we're the ones who are right. I mean, even the bad guy still thinks he's the good guy.
Yes.
You know, and so so I think that, like, watching these characters become more clear and even kind of leaning into that intention that you're unlikable and you don't see it that way is really...
But one of the interesting things also is that they may have an unlikable quality about them in that context, but they are totally universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, we know this woman who is probably dealt with too many men chasing after her, and she's dealing with trying to get her work done and her career and everything, and so she's completely harried. We know these people.
Yeah.
And so we can at least find the universality of them. And it's also a short piece, so it's not like we're spending 2.5 hours with these people.
So what is your strangest New York subway stories?
I just remember one of the Showtime guys falling and breaking something.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And I always worry about that happening, but I've never actually seen it.
Yeah.
The Showtime thing always scares me. No matter how far away you get, it's still too close.
I need to explain what the Showtime guys are. So there's this thing in the MTA where usually a group of fairly young guys walk onto a subway train and they shout out, "Showtime!" And they sometimes set up music, sometimes not, but then they just do these crazy acrobatics on this quickly moving subway train. One that, like, you know, is herky-jerky, that, like, bounces around a lot, that breaks randomly sometimes. And they're, like, doing flips, and they're, like, hanging from
And it's super
the...
crowded. It's yeah, super crowded on,
like,
top of that.
They're doing crazy kicks that are, like millimeters away from people's faces here. It's a blood sport, it feels like.
I have to say, some of it's real impressive.
Yeah.
Some of it, I'm like, you have more strength in whatever muscle that is than I have in my entire body times five.
Yeah. And, like, you can't stop watching then, because A, it's just, they're very talented, like, they're doing these legitimately amazing skills in front of you, and B, because it's like watching a train wreck happen or watching a car wreck, like, you're
on,
like,
a train
and then mariachi bands on the subway too. Yeah.
Mariachi bands on the subway are fun. I turn off my music.
Now you two have known each other for years, and you've worked together in many different kinds of capacities. Is this the first time you've, like, written something together?
Yes. I met Christopher there was a regular open mic night at New World Stages that we met at, and I, you know, we like to joke that he's Nathan Lane on a budget.
I can see that, sure.
And I love character actors. You know, he understands my comedy, so he ended up, he started singing my music, and he's become one of my prime interpreters of things.
The thing for me was, when I moved to New York, I said the first thing I wanted to do was meet composers and lyricists and hopefully become one of their people that they want to work with, that's, like, sings their stuff at 54 Below and at the Duplex and all this kind of stuff. And you were the first person to be like, "Hey, do you want to sing my music?" And I was like, "Yes, yes, that's what I've been waiting for." You know, so that was really serendipitous and you know, kind of gave birth to a great collaborative relationship, but also a
and
really
then
good
of course that
well.
Led to, because I had been putting together an evening of my stuff, because I've written more songs than actual shows. For various reasons, but
I feel like we all have.
I know, it's because it's so much easier to get a song out there than it is to get a show out there. So,
absolutely.
But
yeah.
And
I mean, if you write a song and it doesn't work, it's like a 5-minute thing that you're disappointed about, but, like, it's still, like, you know, that's the work. It's
right.
Like if you write an entire, like, 2-hour show and that doesn't work, and then you're like, "Well, damn it, I've got 2 hours of stuff that don't work now."
But that's also why I like these short musicals too, because they're short stories, and you can put them on YouTube, and you can do all, and you can get your work out there without it being a full length show.
And you could put them on a podcast.
A podcast with orchestration. Yes. Yeah, it's great.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So I had been developing an evening of a review of my stuff, because I had been long obsessed with Maltby and Shire's Closer Than Ever.
Yeah.
They were kind of my peeps. In fact, I always think I sound more like them than anybody else. And so I was building a show called Sax in the City. And we originally did it at the Duplex. And Christopher was in it. It took a long time to get for us to get back to doing a new version of it. But this time, Christopher directed and produced it as part of IndieWorks.
So, and that was the one that I music directed.
And you music directed.
That's right. That's right.
The thing is that, like, when we did it a few years ago, it was this collection of songs, and it was great because it was all actually for Peter's birthday, and he performed in that one as well.
I performed the encore, yes.
Yeah, so we got him to perform as well, and he was wonderful. Everybody really, really loved it. And he sold out the house and everything. I mean, you know, the thing about Peter's music, and I'll talk about you like you're not here for a second, right?
That's okay.
But the thing about Peter's songs are that they're really good. They're not this normal contemporary musical theater style that we've all kind of been accustomed to. Like, this is the sound for right now. His songs are really good, and they're really cleverly written. And so if you really listen to the lyrics, you find some real gold in there. But as you're listening to or like this whole collection of songs that he wrote, I was like, you can really weave a story through this. And he's written a lot of songs for friends, about his friends and all these things. And I said, well, what if we take this and make it into like an actual song cycle? He at one point was writing all these holiday songs. Mm-hmm. So he had ones for Valentine's Day, for St. Patrick's
Pesach,
Day, for
yeah.
Pesach. Yeah. Yeah.
And my Jewish Christmas song, I Sort of Envy Christmas.
And so he had this whole thing. And so we kind of sat down and started talking, well, what if we put this in a song cycle and made it like a year in the life of Peter Sachs and his friends. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and then tried to really follow from January what happens until the next January.
Yeah.
And we're still working on it. Mm-hmm. And we were actually supposed to do it this past summer.
But something came up, something got in the way.
Something came up. Yeah, I guess that's a good way to say it. But something came up. But I'm real excited to kind of get back to it because there's some pieces in there that haven't been heard in a really long time.
One of the pieces in the new version is something that I wrote specifically for Christopher called I Leap,
yeah,
which is about
right.
Christopher going skydiving.
Yeah, my first time skydiving.
Well, that was originally written for a leap year themed show at 54 Below.
Oh, cool.
And that was what we wrote it for because I leap, so leap year. But I love writing stories based on real people.
Peter, you're working on a bunch of other projects right now in addition to Sachs in the City. Can you tell me a little bit about Cannabis Can Save the World?
Oh, Cannabis Can Save the World. Okay. This is one of my long developing projects. It's based on the true story of why marijuana was illegal in this country starting in the 30s. And of course, everyone says, well, there's that musical, you know, Reefer Madness. But that's just a tiny piece of that story. And
yes.
But the true story is that the cannabis plant, which is a very industrious plant, you know, they used to provide paper, is really about paper. And it was more expensive to make hemp paper than it was wood pulp paper. And what happened was in the early 30s, the government came up with a process to make it cheaper and therefore competitive with wood pulp paper. And William Randolph Hearst not only had all his newspapers, but he also had these forests and he made his own paper. And also the DuPont Corporation was in line with him for making wood pulp. So if hemp paper was going to be the norm, it was going to take them out of that part of their business. And the two of them basically got together with a guy named William Anslinger, who was looking to make his name as a drug czar in the government. And they basically created a fear and a scare of marijuana. And it was one of the greatest scams ever perpetuated, considering that cannabis was as American as apple pie back then. You know, it was in products, it was used medicinally, as it should be. But it was this great scam. But that's the basic part of the story, and it takes us through almost the present. But the way the piece is being done, it's being done in the style of an industrial musical.
Ah, cool.
And not only that, but it's a rehearsal. So we're watching the piece being rehearsed. So it's not just the piece; it's the actors responding to the material.
Now, for And for our listeners at home, industrial musicals aren't, many of you, I'm sure, know what industrial musicals are, but since they're not done as much anymore, it's probably worth a second to just explain it. Back in the day, you would have like a GE coming out and selling their dishwashers, and they'd have these big conferences where like they would gather up all the corporate people together, and they would, you know, have meetings and things like that, but there'd also be a lot of entertainment. And so you'd have like, you know, the GE dancers coming out with the dishwashers and singing about how like the dishwashers were going to like revolutionize your life. And isn't it great? The GE dishwashers. Yeah. Like back in the day, my dad was a performer. I think he was a dancing Ronald McDonald at one point, meant one of like a couple dozen of them at an industrial. So like these things are huge, but now, sort of other ways of keeping like people in that industry entertained has sort of evolved. And so industrials are a bit rarer.
Well, Christopher nowadays, just did but... one not like last year. Didn't you do an industrial?
Yeah, I did an industrial. Well, a couple years ago, called the Financial Follies for the New York Financial Writers Association. And cool. It's something that it's like one of the oldest. They've been doing it for like 100 years, I think. Oh, is what they said. And so, yeah, we got the opportunity to do that. Also, a modern day industrial is the Skittles musical that they did a few years ago that Drew Gasparini wrote. And I think I think it was Michael C. Hall from Dexter. You know, kind of another way of doing an industrial in more of a modern setting. And then, of course, there's that documentary
Bathtub. What it was
Bathtubs Over Broadway, which is really fascinating if you get a chance to see that.
Christopher, you are the founder of IndieWorks. IndieWorks is the theater company that produces bite-sized Broadway, among many other things. Listeners can and should go to our website to find out more. But Christopher, can you tell us a bit about IndieWorks?
Yeah, I created IndieWorks to give myself a space to direct and produce, and then also give my friends a place to submit their work. And if it's something that we can feasibly do and it fits kind of the right moment and the... you know, the right budget and everything, then like, let's see what we can do to kind of get it up there. And over the years, we've done a lot of things, cabarets, and we had done festival shows, and we even did a short film called Valley High. And that's actually the project that Jeremy and I, Jeremy, who is our managing director, started working on together. And since then, we've worked on numerous projects, including some of Peter's and even trying to get some of yours in there, Jonathan. And so,
I appreciate that.
But that's what I mean. You know, we have these friends who do amazing work, and it's like, unless you've already got a name, it feels like you can't get your name out there. And so that's kind of how it started. And since then, we've done an off-Broadway production, which we did last year, which was really fantastic. And now we have this podcast, and we've gotten to work with amazing, amazing Broadway stars and, you know, really top talent, and the writers that we've gotten to work with from all over the world have just been amazing with all the different kinds of music that they're bringing into this space. So I'm, you know, it's, we're not making millions yet, but we're certainly making art. And I think that that's really, you know, that's really something to be proud of.
That sounds like a good place to wrap it up. Christopher, Peter, thank you so much. It was lovely talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And thank you for sharing your fantastic work with us and allowing us to put it out in this audio format. Thank you.
For more information on Peter and his multitude of projects, visit his website at petersaxmusic.com. And you can check out Christopher's work as a writer, director, and more at christophermichaels.nyc. As always, there was way more to our chat that we just didn't have time to air. But you can take a listen to the extended conversation when you become a Patreon subscriber. Visit www.patreon.com/bitesizedbroadway and become a member today for exclusive behind-the-scenes content and plenty of other exciting perks. Don't go away. More Bite-Sized Broadway right after this.
Hey, creative professionals and business owners. Looking to up your content game? Need a little boost to help complete your latest creative project? Have a great idea but no idea how to make it happen? Let Evan Feist Coaching and Consulting and his over 15 years of experience in media and extensive network work for you. Head to www.evanfeist.com today for a free consultation.
Next time on Bite-Sized Broadway. In the Australian desert, a family of turtles works hard to find food for their sick mother. Sheila, the cleverest yet smallest turtle of the family, is mocked by her brothers for not being able to contribute due to her size. When Sheila hears about a cure located dangerously far across the desert, she braves the heat, sand, and even a hungry dingo, determined to bring the seeds back to save her mom and proving she's a different kind of strong. Starring Carly DiNardo, Lauren Elder, James Stafford, Robert Mannion, Heather McElhaney, and Michael Puri Jr. Sheila the Tiny Turtle also features orchestrations and performances by Ben Plotnick and Caitlin Raitz of Oliver the Crow. Opening May 3rd only on Bite Size Broadway. And that's it for this episode of Bite Size Broadway. If you haven't subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform, come on, now's the time, let's do this. Subscribe today and never miss an episode. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and a brief review. A huge thank you goes out to our upper-level Patreon subscribers, Dakota Cahill and Judith Manicheri. If you'd like to support us on Patreon and get those exciting perks, head to www.patreon.com/bitesizebroadway or click the link in the episode description. Until next time, friends, I'm Jonathan Lynch, and this is Bite Sized Broadway.
Bite Sized Broadway is an IndieWorks theater production created by Jonathan Lynch. Executive producers Christopher Michaels and Jeremy Terry. Produced by Jonathan Lynch and Andrew Fox. Bite Sized Broadway's theme and finale were composed and performed by Michael Puri Jr. For more information on this and other IndieWorks programming, please visit www.indieworkstheater.com. Like and follow us on social media at IndieWorksCo. Stand by, main curtain.